not going to have the potluck tonight. You know, we just felt like with the coronavirus and everything, we just thought, the more we thought about it, the more we just want to be careful. And so we're hopefully going to do that here in the next few weeks. And so, but hey, we still got to have some fun tonight. So what we're going to do is at your table, everybody's got a sheet that looks like this. In fact, you should have two of them. It's just the alphabet going all the way down. Everybody got two copies of that? Raise your hand when you realize you have two copies of that. Awesome. We're going to do this little game here. It's called Think Fast. And y'all are looking at me like, dude, I've worked all day. I don't want to think fast. We're going to have you think fast. A little competition. There is a prize. And so if you're the first one done, you do get a prize. And so it's called Think Fast. So what we're going to do is you have every letter of the alphabet on this sheet. And so when I say go, not yet, first thing I will have to say, for this one, you cannot use your phone. Got it? Everybody look good. Don't be cheating on me, okay? You can't use your phone. But what you're going to do is when I say go, you're going to think of retail stores, right? Like Academy or JCPenney, Bed Bath & Beyond, whatever. Okay, retail stores, restaurants, doesn't have to just be in Lufkin, it can be anywhere, right? Restaurants and books of the Bible. Everybody catch that? Retail stores, restaurants, books of the Bible. So when you go through the alphabet, you got to think of one of those three things that starts with that letter of the alphabet. So I'll give you the first one, right? I'll give you an example. Academy, right, is a retail store. Does that make sense? Any questions?
Wait, books of the Bible, retail stores, and restaurants?
Yeah, you don't have to do one of each for every letter. Right. You just have to pick one. Does that make sense? And so the first person done, you have to get up and bring it to me. Okay? And then if you win, we have a prize for you. Sound good?
Okay, is it two papers?
Well, we're going to do another round.
Okay.
We're going to do one round. If it goes pretty fast, you guys think fast like you're supposed to. We'll do another round. If we go really, really slow, we might not do the second round. We'll just kind of see. But once you're done, bring it up to me. And listen, don't be throwing elbows. You know, there's some couples in here. Y'all take it easy, okay? Don't be hurting each other. It's been in California. Don't be tripping them or anything. Everybody good?
Yeah.
On your mark? Get set, go. And see trouble if I don't start the teaching soon, right? So, well, guys, good job. Does anybody remember the memory verse for this week, last week? Very true.
Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life through Christ Jesus our Lord.
It's the nuggets. It was all about the nuggets. Good job, man. Good job. And just keep memorizing, guys. Keep using the soap. Did anybody use the soap method this past week? And did I show you anything specific that you might want to share?
I'm
sure. Yeah, go for it.
And this is not heart-shaking, but I struggle with, you know, when you're struggling. I had a pretty good struggle Sunday evening and into Monday. And on Monday, it's just true. Dark cloud kind of day. But I was struggling.
You didn't share your chicken nuggets a little bit.
So anyway, my scripture reference was Romans 3:28, and the part that was the S, a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. My O was that the law does not justify me or anyone, and we know it's not about works, but grace. So A is my application. I cannot be justified by my works. I can never earn what Jesus has done for me. I was frustrated over just not feeling like some of the things the Lord has called me to in ministry were going real well. So my prayer is that the Lord, on the days when I feel like, I just wrote Savior, on the days I feel like a complete failure, remind me that it's only through faith that I'm justified. So even if I do completely fail, He's not going to love me less. Or He's not going to love me more on the days when I feel like I did just right or whatever. It's not about me.
Right.
That's good.
My performance.
So good. Awesome. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
What a great reminder to all of us, right? Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, keep using that, guys. What a wonderful tool that we can use when we're studying the Word. Just keep jumping in. Keep doing that. So, well, guys, let's jump into the teaching. tonight. We kind of started a new section last week, as I said and described. We went from, you know, jump into this idea that we want to begin to act upon our Christ-like character and convictions, right? We talked about character and integrity, and just to kind of recap, we gave this definition of character. Character is one's moral and ethical code of values and behaviors. We said cultivating Christ-like character requires one to be intentional and deliberate, right? We talked about that last week. We got to be intentional with it. We got to be deliberate in the process of development. It's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing thing that we're never perfect. But as we strive to be Christ-like, right, we want to be deliberate and be intentional in that, in those things, talking about character. And we gave the example of rivers and canals. And rivers are what, right? They're natural, right? And they kind of wind, and they go like that. There's a picture, right? It's, that's a river, and it just naturally does its own thing. But a canal, this is a canal, it's intentional. It was man-made, right? And it would had an intention and a purpose behind it, right? It was deliberately built to do something specific and was intentional. And so, as Christ followers, we're called to be intentional and consistent in our strive to be like Christ, right? And in character and in integrity, right? And so we used that example last week. And then with integrity, we gave the working definition of steadfast adherence to a moral or ethical code. And we had a couple good quotes, one being from John Kilpatrick, and he said, "Integrity requires harmony between what I do and what I say." And what did we say last week? You know, we can talk the talk, but we got to walk the walk, right? And integrity is about that, right? And James chapter 2, verse 26 reminds us that, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." That's in the King James Version. And so we looked at that. We kicked off this new section of our teaching for the semester with character and integrity. Character is one's moral and ethical code, and then integrity means that one lives according to that moral and ethical code, that character. So those who live lives of integrity consistently live according to Christ's moral values and model his character. Again, does that mean that we're perfect?
No.
No, not at all, right? But man, we're striving to be like Christ in that character and integrity. In other words, they live like Jesus lived. And that's the goal. We want to live like Jesus lived. So the presence or the absence of Christ-like character and integrity in our lives is summed up by answering one big, very important question. Is that, do I do or live what's right when no one else is watching? Right? Do I still do and live the way I'm supposed to and do what's right, live the right life, not a perfect life, but the right life that God desires when nobody else is around and when no one else is watching, right? That's integrity, that's character. And so this week, it'd be like this. If I was going to make a cake right here, and I had all these different things, these different supplies to make a cake, if I was going to do that, like if I was going to make brownies, for instance, right, I got to have all those different ingredients. I got to have all those different things. And, if I tried to do it without egg, right, it's not going to turn out too well. That's a key ingredient that I got to have in those brownies. Anybody like brownies? I love brownies, right? And so thinking about that idea and what we talked about last week, we'll learn about a key ingredient tonight that enables us to live out that Christ-like character, convictions, and conduct. You got to have that key ingredient, right? When it comes to character, when it comes to integrity. This element of character, it's essentially like what fuels our integrity. We talked about character, we talked about integrity, right? And so this key ingredient, this element of character, it's the fuel to that, right? It's the fuel of our integrity. And it's the key ingredient required to live a life of character and integrity, and that's courage. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. That key ingredient, just like in making brownies, if I don't have eggs, right, it's not going to work out too well. If I don't have, certain things, if something gets missed and left out, it's not going to turn out the way it's supposed to. So that key ingredient is courage. So, saying that, what's your definition of courage? When I say courage, what do you guys think? What comes to mind when I say courage?
could be hard.
Yeah, willingness to do something that could be hard. Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else? Who comes to mind when you think of courage?
Joshua.
Daniel.
Yeah, absolutely. Dusty, anything you have for us? Five.
You're Meshach and Abednego.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
My Shack, your Shack.
No Shack. Right?
Yeah. Cool, absolutely, right? Well, here's a good definition that's in your notes. Courage is the authentic, right? Authentic, spontaneous act of self-sacrificial concern for the defenseless. It's not fanaticism, but it's character, right? It's not fanaticism, but character. It's being able to act on what you see, okay? Courage to act on what you see, what's happening right in front of you, what's happening around you, having the courage to act on that, right? Another good example is the willingness of mind necessary to act out of conviction rather than feeling, right? It's the willingness of mind to act out of conviction rather than feeling. Because sometimes in the moment, our feeling may be, I'm scared to death. I don't want to do that. Or I don't want to walk away from this or walk away from that. I don't want to have that conversation. I don't want to stand up for this or for that, right? Because we're human and we can be fearful or we can be, that's not my personality to typically do that or to act that way or to speak out against something, right? And so, especially in today's world, when even to speak out respectfully sometimes gets shot down and treated as whatever, right? And so I like that idea of it too. It's to act out of conviction rather than just feeling. There's a quote by a lady named Brene Brown. She said this. She said, "You can choose courage or we can choose comfort, but you cannot choose both." And I thought that was really interesting. That goes with that idea of acting out of conviction rather than just our feelings, right? We can't have courage and comfort. We can't have both. You can choose one or the other, but you can't have both. Another good one is the willingness to deny my own flesh and do what is right and noble regardless of the cost, right? It's that I'm going to deny my own flesh. It may want this. My sinful flesh may want to do this or act upon that, but I'm going to do what's right and what's noble, even if it's going to cost me that friendship, that relationship, my job, whatever, you fill in the blank there. But man, that's true courage. It's not always about the biggest, strongest thing, person. We're going to talk about that. A lot of times it's a mindset and a trust that I'm going to deny my own flesh. I'm going to deny that and do what is right, do what is noble, even if it does cost me something, right? When I say that, cost you something, how would displaying courage cost you something? What's an example of that? Does that make sense, the question I'm asking? What's an example of that?
Well, maybe if you're terrified about public speaking and the Lord's prompting you to speak out on this.
Yeah. What's it cost you in that? Just
what a comfort of not sitting down and not having all the eyes on you.
Yeah. Definitely.
Possible embarrassment.
Yeah. Well, possible red in the face, huh?
Even among your family members, if they know you're, well, when they know you're a Christian, and when they're not living for Christ, you may be left out of some gatherings.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's also good relationships.
Yeah, have been.
Yeah. So. I'll give you a real-time example on that. I won't give you all the details, but I have a very close friend, family member who made a choice, and when that was presented to me, I was like, I can't support that. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a believer and I'm a follower of Jesus. And I just explained it as, this right here, I made a decision that this is the final authority in my life, not anything else. This is. And your choice, doesn't line up with this. I love you, but I can't support that choice. And that was difficult, and it cost me something, because she has a son who's my nephew, and I don't get to see my nephew right now. That's a cost. But I'm not going to. So you have to walk through that. Just sharing that as a real hardcore, it does cost us something sometimes to take a stand. No, Now, will I continue to do my best to keep that line of communication open? I am. To no response back. But I'm going to keep doing that. Keep sending letters, emails, texts. Keep saying I love you. Keep leaving the voicemails. And I'll do it for 10 years if I have to. Because I believe that's what Jesus would want me to do in that situation. And not just give up. I'd say, well, she made her decision, so I'm just going to make mine. No, it's I got to keep doing that. Keep praying, right? So it does cost us sometimes, you know. That takes courage in that moment, you know, knowing that it can cost you something. So, well, let's talk a little bit about what courage is not, okay, before we kind of jump into what it is, okay? Courage is not, number one, bravery. Does it take bravery to have courage sometimes? Absolutely, okay? But many, you can't just wrap up the kind of courage we're talking about tonight in just bravery alone. Many miss the greater truth of courage by thinking it is solely in terms of bravery. It's more than that, right? Courage is far more than just valor in the face of danger. Now, when I say that, I immediately think of, like, people in the military, obviously. That takes serious bravery to act on instinct and to do things to protect themselves, their country. They're putting themselves in harm's way every single time. And that does take some serious courage and bravery, right? Absolutely does. But courage is far more than just valor in the face of a dangerous moment. There's a quote, and I brought this book because I mentioned this last week. If you guys ever want to read a great book, a lot of the content in this section of what we're teaching, some of it comes from this book by Dr. Mark Rutland. It's called Character Matters. Great book. So if you want to, it's a quick read, really, really great book. And a quote from this book on this idea, it says this, that heroism in the face of danger may be a momentary burst of instinct, not reflective of true character. In other words, some people are simply bolder than others by nature, right? We know that as humans, right? Maybe they're the biggest guy in the room, biggest kid in class, and they're just brave, right? But not necessarily brave for all the right reasons sometimes, right? Some people are simply bolder than others by nature. Sometimes public heroes in even war or in athletics, right, later live unproductive and even destructive lives. I think about this, and it says such people were never truly courageous. They were just simply brave in a moment. I think about, as many of you know, I was adopted. My mom in California, her dad, my grandpa, Grandpa Mina, was actually a bodyguard for General Patton. Anybody know General Patton from World War II? And this guy was amazing. I mean, he was incredible. He was an incredible general, helped win World War II, and he was very brave. But I hear stories from my mom because my grandpa was a bodyguard for him. He wasn't always the nicest guy. He wasn't always the best guy in the world. But he sure was brave, right? He was, you know, around during World War II and helped win that war. But he probably should have been from the Old West. I mean, he walked around literally in his gear with pearl-handled pistols all the time. You know what I mean? He was this big, brave guy. He wasn't necessarily always the greatest guy behind closed doors and different things like that. Was he brave? Yes. I think of, there was a book I read last year called The Cost of These Dreams that speaks when we talk about athletes, for example. And it's a book written about a lot of different great athletes and coaches who were incredibly successful. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Ted Williams, old baseball player from years ago, one of the best baseball players ever. Urban Meyer, one of the greatest college coaches in college football. But sadly, the book is about, they were very successful in their sport, but they were very unsuccessful in everything else in life. And their dreams cost them so much. And the destruction upon their families and upon their marriages. And so it just makes me, we kind of idolize this idea of bravery, which it has its place, don't get me wrong. But a lot of times, such people were never truly courageous. They were just simply brave, right? So courage is not always about just bravery. Make sense? Number two, courage is not the feeling of fearlessness, right? Courage is not the feeling of fearlessness. Courage and heroism are not exactly synonymous. To confuse prudence and cowardice is extremely dangerous, it says, right? Because you're going to have moments, and you probably already have in life, where you had to be courageous, but man, it was scary, right? I mean, there were moments probably in your life that you just had to show great courage, or even the Lord helped you have courage in that moment when you knew the outcome may not be accepted by that individual or by that situation, or it may not work out the way you thought it was going to work out, you know, but it took incredible courage to make that decision or to make that stand or whatever, or to have that conversation. You're definitely still fearful in that moment. You're still nervous. You're still human, right? And so that's a big part of it, too. The distinction between a hero and an obnoxious show-off is character. I love that. The distinction between a hero and an obnoxious show-off is character. And so that's what we've been talking about, this idea of character, integrity, and then tonight, courage. I think just incredible example of this is King David, and especially young David, right? David was courageous, but he wasn't careless, right? I mean, there's so many moments that you look through, especially when he was young, that he was courageous, but he wasn't careless. There's a difference between acting courageously and carelessly. Yeah, I think about King David when he went to face Goliath, right? He could have just put on Saul's armor, but it obviously didn't fit him well, right? And he could have used the sword and the shield. But no, instead, he wasn't careless with that and just did what everybody thought he should do. He didn't wear the armor, and he didn't go to the fight with a big sword. He went to the fight with a little slingshot and some rocks, right, and some stones. And so there's so many examples where David was not only courageous, but he definitely wasn't careless either. He was wise, and he listened to the Lord, and he trusted the Lord to make wise decisions and be patient and do things when he was supposed to do things, right? Ask people who work with wild animals, you know, and they're quick to explain the difference between courageous and careless, right? You ask the guy that works with the snakes at Ellen Trout Zoo, right? That takes some serious courage. That's not me. I'm not going to be the snake handler. That's courageous, but if he's careless, it's not going to work out too well, right? He'll explain the difference between the two for you. It takes a great deal of courage to handle a venomous snake, but if you're careless, it could cost you your life, right? And so I think that's a great illustration of the difference. So going to the next section here, what does courage do for us? Okay, what does courage do? Well, number one, courage is the first and greatest element of character. We need courage. We need godly courage in a moment to display that character. It takes courage to act on virtue. It takes courage to act on virtue, to act on that character, that godly character. We look at this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, it says. Be strong, do everything in love. And I love this. Courage is the catalytic agent that summons every other virtue. In other words, character trait, into action in the face of temptation or crisis. So courage is that catalytic agent that summons every other virtue into action. There's a story in this book that Mark Rutland writes about a contractor. And he built houses, right? And a good example of this is this contractor, he bid everything out, and then he realized in order to use the best supplies to build this home, all of a sudden there was a rise in supplies. All of a sudden the cost went up on all these different supplies. He didn't realize that. It didn't happen until after he had already bid it out and signed the contract on the price. So he knew if he did this the right way, it was going to cost him at the end. He wasn't going to make the extra money. So he could either do one of two things. He could just keep his character and integrity and still build with the best supplies like he promised and take his losses and still have his integrity and his character. Or he could just buy cheaper supplies that probably would have worked okay in most cases and actually made some money. But he chose to do the right thing. Okay, it's those kind of moments in life. Yeah, there's those moments where you have to stand and be brave, but there's a lot more of these situations where we have to have godly character and integrity when nobody else is around. And it takes courage to do that. I think that's a good example. In this example that we just talked about, honesty is the virtue, right? Honesty is the virtue that's resident. But it takes courage to put that honesty into action, okay? He could have cheated the process, but he didn't. I think a great example of this, and I've shared this before, but Ellie, my wife, she grew up in Michigan, and her grandpa, Dan Gillian, who now lives in Missouri, he's been a farmer his whole life, and I love the guy. Anytime you sit down with him, he's going to talk to you about farm country, and he says it real slow like that. Let me talk to you about farm country, and that's all he's done his whole life. He's got all these tractors and stuff. He's up in his 80s now. He's not farming anymore, but if you sit down long enough with him, he's going to talk to you about farming up in Michigan and in Ohio and his whole life, right? And there was a time when Ellie was like in middle school, high school, that he came across an opportunity with about four or five other farming friends to buy this large piece of property in Minnesota, this massive farm. And it was just a slam dunk. Everything, you know, they would all work together, purchase it together. They would all put in a ton of money together. And for her grandparents, it was about everything they had to jump in on this deal that they thought was a slam dunk and purchase this farm and begin farming it, and the returns would just be a blessing to them and these other families. Well, some things went wrong. Things didn't turn out very good. And they ended up losing the farm. They couldn't even sell it. The crops, that first couple years, just things didn't work out. And I think there was about four other people involved in the deal. And I think all four of the other people decided to go bankrupt. And they went bankrupt. They had borrowed money from people to make this happen, to purchase this massive farm. And they just, hey, this is what happens, out of my control, I can't pay you back. Well, not Dan Gillian and his wife Betty, Ellie's grandmother. They literally, for the next 20 years, they did everything they could to pay every person back that had loaned them money and helped them purchase their part of this massive farm. And she told me the story of how they, her grandma went to work for her mom at the daycare. But before she went to the daycare at like 8 o'clock in the morning, she was at the bakery for 3 to 4 hours, getting up early every morning. Her grandpa was still farming, but getting all these other jobs, second, third, fourth jobs, just to pay off. And they went back and they paid every penny back when they could have done what the other people did. And probably other people would have understood it. But he's such an awesome example of character and integrity. And it took courage to do that, not knowing if he was ever going to be able to pay it all back. But I just love that example of her grandparents. We talk about it all the time. And they paid everybody back. And he did it with the right heart. He felt like the Lord wanted them to do that, and he did that. So, again, that takes incredible courage, you know, to do something different when everybody else is doing one thing. You feel like the Lord's leading you to do something else. And so that takes incredible courage. Okay, let's jump to the next part. Kinds of courage. And again, I keep thinking of King David. Those the things that you know about David in the Old Testament, thinking about this young King David, I mean, when you think about him getting called in from the field with his dad, Jesse, and all his brothers standing there, and they all think they're going to get anointed king, and he didn't even get called in that day, and he gets called in from the field, and he's all dirty from working in the field, and Samuel anoints him to be the next king, and he goes right back to work. Right? He could have, at that point, decided, well, I'm going to be king one day. I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. And I'm just going to get away with anything that I want to get away with. But he didn't do that. And there's so many examples of where he waited. And it took great courage for him to do that when he could have taken the throne by force probably many times. But he didn't do that. So the kinds of courage that we find ourselves in, there's two of them that I want to share with you guys. You guys still with me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Number one is momentary courage. We're gonna have situations in our life where we just have that momentary courage. What is this? Well, it's in the face of temptation, you choose to act or react with Christ-like character rather than respond and behave sinfully. How many of you have just that disease where you kind of open your mouth before you think? Some of us just have that disease, right? It's in that moment. Biting our tongue. It's in that moment saying, I've got to respond with Christ-like character in this moment. As much as I want to, this is not right, and I want to say this back, It's that courage to walk away. It's that courage to bite our tongue a little bit. It's that courage to say, I'm not going to respond and react to that right now. I'm going to think on it, right? Or the opposite. I'm more the opposite. I'm a processor. And sometimes it takes courage for me, but every once in a while, that like, I need to speak up in this moment. That's scary for some people, right? You know? We're all built differently. We all have different personalities. And that sometimes takes courage when the Lord's saying, I want you to speak that right now. You know, it might even be a word from the Lord for somebody. Or it could be in a situation like I was describing where I'm not going to let them talk to me that way, but in a respectful way, I'm going to speak up right now. You know what I mean? So I think it takes courage either way around. It's that momentary courage that can be difficult in those moments. But I'm going to act or react with Christ-like character rather than respond and behave sinfully. If a situation arises that tempts you to go against your moral and ethical code, like we talked about last week, your Christ-like character, but you choose to do what's right when no one is watching instead of what feeds your sinful flesh and desires, right? Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, it says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I just look again at how David had momentary courage to take on a lion and a bear in that moment. He didn't have time to really think about it. He just had to do it, right? And then there's that moment with Goliath, when nobody else would do it, that momentary courage to just step up and say, I'll do it. I'm not going to let him talk about our God like that. I'm gonna do what needs to be done here, right? And so there's that momentary courage. Number two is daily ongoing courage. Okay, so you have momentary courage, which is like in the moment, you just got to respond or not respond, whichever one is being asked of you, right? And then there's that daily ongoing courage. Those who stand up day after day under withering criticism need a far greater kind of courage than the once-in-a-lifetime hero. Did you guys catch that? Anybody can have that moment where you're that once-in-a-lifetime hero. But man, it takes incredible courage under withering criticism, that kind of courage, day after day after day, to have that kind of courage. That's a lot more challenging. Look at how David could have took matters into his own hands. Thrust himself into the throne as king and taken out Saul, but he didn't do it on multiple occasions. He could have, but he didn't do it. That takes incredible, incredible courage. He knew God was with him. He knew God had called him and that throne was going to be his, but he was patient and he trusted and he waited and he knew that God would do it in his timing. That took incredible courage. Mark Rutland, from this book again, he says, courage extended in an enduring crisis is character's most painful and most profound and braver. That's a powerful quote there. Isaiah chapter 54, verses 4, it says, do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. What are some examples of daily courage to you guys? Just daily courage. What are some good examples?
Well, I know for TDC, that's one of the core four, so, you know, you gotta have courage to go to work every day. Do the same daily job every day, even though you know that the people that you're providing security for don't want you there.
Right. Yeah, that's... every day courage. Absolutely.
Getting them going to work every day, wherever you're at, there's just that takes courage to do the right thing, even when you don't feel like you're getting ahead or anything like that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Anybody else?
Well, because Amber was sharing before class, it takes courage to, especially when your children are small and very dependent on you, literally every step, to keep doing those sometimes mundane, to things that your kiddos need from you, not bad from you, in order for them to thrive.
It's true.
You know, even when you're exhausted, just keep moving.
Every day. That's so true. Being a parent, it takes that every day courage. Every day. It's the preacher who must preach the truth. It's the the businesswoman who chooses to be honest, even though it may cost her. It's the schoolgirl or schoolboy who chooses not to listen or to laugh at the dirty joke, right? It's my 11-year-old son who's in sixth grade, and life is things have changed. You know, it's not fifth grade anymore, and the conversations in the locker room are not the same. And damn, why do they say that? Is this my dad? Is this bad? That's bad, son. it's just teaching him though. Those are great conversations, you know, and to be strong and courageous in those moments, even when all the other guys are laughing at that and joking at that, right? There's three expressions of courage that I want to kind of leave you guys with before we do some group work, okay? Three expressions of courage. I don't know if these are in your notes or not, but the courage, number one, one expression is the courage to say no. I think about that when it comes to expressions of courage. I love this quote, don't allow the many good opportunities in life to divert your attention from the one opportunity that has the greatest potential. That's a great quote. So in other words, it takes courage, but learn to say no to the good so that you can say yes to the great. You know, it's hard to learn that sometimes because we're impatient. We want everything fast. And we want to do this now, right? But you've got to learn to say no to the good so that you can say yes to the great. It is really the courage to have laser focus on what God's doing and what God's promised you, right? Often the reason that we won't say no is that we're afraid. We've all faced that. We've all gone through that. We fear disappointing people. We fear being passed by for a job, right, situation, you know, promotion. We fear missing out on a good opportunity. It takes courage, but choose your opportunities carefully. Many opportunities are worth missing. Can I say that? Just say no and wait for the God thing, right? And that takes courage to do that, to say no. Okay, the second thing is this, another expression of courage, is courage to face current reality. Sometimes that's what we need, the courage just to face our current reality in life and situations. Facing the painful truth requires courage, you know? That's why I need men in my life, other godly men, that can speak into my life and see some that I'm just not seeing, you know, and love me enough to say, dude, cut it out. You know, the way you're acting, the way you're talking, you need to change that. That's not Christ-like character, right? It's that courage to say, you know what, I love him enough, trust him enough to speak into my life, right, to face that current reality. Designing and implementing a strategy for change in your life is a waste of time until you have discovered and embraced your current reality. So that takes courage. If you don't know where you really are, it's impossible to get to where you need to be. So many people just don't get that, right? They don't get the help that they need to get past the current reality or deal with the current reality or lock arms with other people that will pray with you and help you deal with the current reality. What you don't know can kill you, right? And this takes courage. Why? Because it can be nasty, dirty, painful work. A lot of times it has to do with us, right? And stuff we're just not even seeing in our life. And usually this cannot be done successful without the help of other people in your life. It just can't. And again, that's why I'm saying it's so important. That's why we talk about we don't do life alone. It's not just about encouraging and supporting each other and being there for each other when we're walking through a difficult time. And it's, for me, it's also the times when my best friend of 42 years, we can talk on the phone and be like, dude, quit complaining about that. You just need to change your attitude. No, that's not the right attitude. Yeah, you're right. You know, so, you know, or it's my wife, you know, a lot of times it's my wife. It's like, you know, but having those people in your life, that's so important. Here's seven commandments of current reality that a guy by the name of Andy Stanley, I heard him once say, and I believe will give you the courage to face your current reality and then do something about it. He said, thou shalt not pretend, right? Thou shalt not turn a blind eye. Thou shalt not exaggerate. Okay? Thou shalt not shoot the bearer of bad news. We're real good at that, right? The bearer of bad news that comes to us. Thou shalt not hide behind the numbers. Right? Thou shalt not ignore constructive criticism. And thou shalt not isolate thyself. I love those, right? If you want those later, come ask me and I can give them to you. But so good when it comes to courage to face your current reality in life, okay? Here's the final one that it's an expression of courage. Courage to dream. Have courage to dream. You must allow your mind to wander outside the boundaries of what is and begin to create this mental picture of what could be. And invite God into that process. Let God lead that process. Prayerfully let God just take off in that process. This can be scary and requires some courage because God may show you something that he wants you to change course and do something different with your life. Or he starts to begin to show you something about a calling that he has on your life. And guys, just because don't have pastor behind your name doesn't mean that you're not called. Every one of you in this room are called to do something. You're given God-given potential that God wants to use. And it doesn't matter what that may be, but it can sometimes, as he shows it to you, it takes courage to run after that because it can be a little bit scary, right? The individual that accomplishes great things will not always be the most talented or best educated. It will be the one who refuses to put brackets on his or her thinking. And allow the Lord to just dream, and you dream with the Lord and see the things that God wants to do. It will be the one who refuses to limit himself or herself by what others have done or failed to do. So dreaming, it takes courage. And know this, on the heels of every dream, there's this demon of doubt, right? I think we've all experienced that one time or another. The minute I feel like the Lord's telling me something, it doesn't take long for that doubt to just run right up and start getting in my face and making me think of all the reasons why I can't do that, or I shouldn't do this, or I shouldn't do that. And if you allow doubt or fear to overshadow your dreams, you will never try anything new or create anything new. And God wants to do that in and through every one of you in this room. He really does. And so have courage to dream. Sound good? Awesome. All right, guys. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a few minutes here at your tables. And let me find it here. It's about 10 minutes. Yeah, we're going to take about 10 minutes. And there's some passages of scripture there that we want you at your table just to read through as a group and kind of talk through them. There's some questions there with the passages you're going to read. But they talk about courage. You're going to read about some individuals that had to have certain types of courage. And you're going to be asked, is this momentary courage? Is this ongoing daily courage? Or whatever. So just take a few moments. And then there's a question for reflection. And we'll kind of discuss it as we finish class. Sound good? All right, cool. Chapter 14, verses 1 through 13. What's happening in this story?
Two people are going against a whole bunch.
Yes, they are. Yeah. This is one of those fun Bible stories you get to read with your son. You're like, dude, check this out. You know, these guys.
They thought they were going to lose the whole army. Went over. Well, I only two of them.
Yeah. Extreme sports of Bible stories, right? For kids. So what's happening? We got Jonathan. In it that you read this. I read this a long time ago when I first got this Bible that I've had for, I don't know, over 10 years. And I wrote to the side, crazy strategy, you know, because it just is, right? So is this, does it turn out for him? Does a guy show up and do something crazy after they scale the wall and go rock climbing? You got to love the armor bearer's response. I mean, because he says in verse 6, perhaps, right? Maybe, perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. And in verse 7, he says, go ahead. I'm right here with you, heart and soul. Gotta love that guy, right?
You gotta love the fact that we were talking about that over here. He wasn't told he had to go.
Right, yeah.
I mean, he was just the armor bearer. And, yeah. You know, but he decided to go along.
Encouraging himself to go with this crazy guy with this crazy strategy when he didn't have to, right? So cool. And so what kind of courage is being used in this story?
Momentary,
right? And I'm telling you, I hate it when people say following the Lord is going to church, being a follower of Jesus is boring. No, it's not. when you're really trusting him and going after him, he asks you to do some crazy stuff, and it's going to involve some momentary courage at moments in our life. So, yes, ma'am.
I had this thought, and I was wondering if anybody else had it, especially you. You ever had this thought, when you heard this story, I wonder if I could try that. Just ask God, well, this is a sign. If God says this, it's a sign. If not, then okay. You ever thought that just to try it, just to see what happens? I have it because I'm not that bold to be like, well, if it's God, this is what's going to, You ever tried that, a sign thing? Because there's lots of places in the Bible where, Lord, make this grass wet, make it not, you know what I'm talking about? Make
yeah,
it not.
Put a fleece before the Lord, yeah.
Yeah, so you ever thought about, is it wrong to test the Lord and ask him for a sign? Because I feel like if you ask for a sign, that doesn't show faith, but all the other people did it, but we don't do it anymore.
Yeah. Well, I think.
Well, I don't. That
no, I mean, there's been moments where I'm like, God, I really need you in this moment to show me what to do. Now if he shows me, I lay that fleece before the Lord, and he makes something clear, and I say, okay, God. And you see this in Scripture. One more, God. One more. The only time, for me personally, the only time that I feel like the Lord was 100% clear, this is what I'm asking you to do, is when we went to France, because I needed it. I was this doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And now it was a year later that he confirmed it in Ellie, my wife. When I'm telling you, she did not want to talk about it. When I first felt the Lord was doing something, Natalie, our oldest, was just born. She was, and Ellie growing up in church her first thought was, when I mentioned France, and I didn't even say go to France, I just said, God's laying this on my heart. Her mind immediately went to her. I am not going to France. I'm not going to move away from my family and move to France. And so we did not talk about it. And I just began to pray. And I just prayed that, God, this doesn't make sense to me. You're just going to have to show up, and maybe you're just asking me to just pray for France. And if that's it, that's great. And then literally a year later, he spoke to Ellie's heart. And that was the confirmation that I needed. So I kind of put that fleece before him, kind of like that. So I think that's totally okay.
I guess I meant use the word, give me a sign.
Yeah.
And if I stick this, if we say this or, all the other stuff. I just thought it was interesting. I wonder who does that.
Or I did it
you did?
A month or two ago.
Did it happen?
Well, yeah. So I felt the same way you did, though. I was like, not that I don't trust you, God, but I said, so our coffee shop ordeal, and I told my husband that it would take a miracle of God, and here's the ten stipulations or the 10 things God's going to need to do before I'm on board. And he said, okay, all right. And it was a week later, and all 10 were met, and everything went just like he said. See, I told you God still does miracles. And so, but I felt that way. I felt like I was not that I don't trust God, but I'm really not sure. There's a whole lot of things that are going to have to all fall into line, and I don't see how any of them are going to fall in line. And then they all did within
me and Andrea have frequently prayed when different things come up. God, either close the door completely, shut it.
Yeah.
Just shut it or open it wide open where we can't help but walk through.
It's kind of like that. I don't.
Give us guidance of how we should be going there, but either open it or shut it.
That's what I love about Grow Track 2 right now. When you think about going back to week one, guys, the importance of understanding prayer, reading the scriptures, and not just reading it to read it, but start to do this SOAP method, right? So you begin to dive into it a little bit more and really pull more out of it, extract more from it than just reading it. And then we talked about hearing the voice of God and understand. The more you know his voice, the more time you spend with him, the more clear you hear in those moments. And you can say, God, I just need you to speak. I need you to shut that door.
It was just like that. It was either open or shut.
I don't know if that helps you.
I know. I can say, for instance, a couple of days ago, I had a sudden change of work happen, and I had a special position that kind of got taken away from me. And it was yesterday I got home, and I just kind of had some soft music playing. And when I was just kind of focused on him and just dwelling on the situation, it was it's time to turn the page.
Yeah. They just gave you peace about that. Yeah. Absolutely. That's good. I hope that helps.
Yes, it does.
It's So, Genesis chapter 6, verses 9 through 22, we read about who? What was happening to the sword? Noah, right? So what's going on with Noah?
He built an ark.
My
question, it's more to him telling Noah how to build the ark rather than probably all that he went through to build it.
Right.
in those verses.
Yeah. But he's going through, he's being asked to do this, and it takes, is it 120 years, I think, to build this ark, you know? The process that it takes to build this ark, and just imagine those years of every day getting up there, hammer, when people are walking by, like, this guy is nuts. This guy is crazy.
It's not even
green. Like, what is this guy doing? And that takes what? Not momentary courage, but
daily,
right? So good examples there of just sometimes it's that momentary moment of courage we have to have, and then sometimes it's the daily ongoing courage. Just real quick to finish up, does anybody want to share? You don't have to, but anybody want to share kind of, Lorena, you just kind of did, kind of a right now life moment where God's testing you with this. Anybody else?
I've had instances that at work when people come in and sometimes you just have to be brave enough or courageous enough to tell them, in my line of work, sometimes you don't know the answer. And that maybe I need to send you somewhere. Sometimes, and I mean, to me, that takes courage to be honest and tell them,
you know,
I don't know the answer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, I bet in your line of work, in my line of work, you know, like, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean that I know all the answers and I learned real quick. I got to stop, you know, like working with teenagers, you get lots of questions. And I learned it was okay to say, no, I don't know the answer to that. Well, let's find out together. let's figure it out together. You know, it's super true. Anybody else?
I'll share.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've been doing the talk about the fasting
here,
and we talked about it in Encounter. So I was like, not my favorite subject at all. So I was like, the Lord's been really dealing me to do it. So I was like, all right, planned it out. I was like, I'm going to do a 3-day fruits and vegetables only with natural drinks. So that's like tea, coffee, water, you know, stuff like that. First day, I woke up with like a major headache. Hadn't food. I was like, oh, the enemy's not got me. I was like, at least I'm getting fruits. I'm thinking this is going to be better. At least I have fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
Dear God, I had a headache so bad all day, and I teach first grade.
Oh,
and I have some extremely, and I'm going to say extremely challenging behavior this year. Like, I had never seen. I have lots of interesting things going on. I have 4 children that seek negative attention. So anything they can do, like climb on desks, scream, throw fits, yell, say they're going to kill themselves, just all kinds of, it has been a lot. So that's the main reason why I went on this fast, because like that was, it's at the front. And it's been like this for a while. And it got better, and then I inherited another child from another teacher. Well, that was her worst student to my class. So I was like, okay, I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to see what happens. And I've been praying about it. The second day, well, I guess the enemy tried to hit me really hard, because everything got to me the next day. I'm starving. I have a double headache, and I can't stop crying. I cried at least 5 times. I even texted the group, and I said, can you just pray for me? Because it's bad.
Yeah.
And she did. She responded, and I was so glad. And I had a lady come and say, do you need any help with anything? I said, I do. I said, can you help me test these students? So she got them tested. My principal came, and my principal's a godly woman, so that was really nice. And she came and she sat and she talked to my class and she talked to me. And she just gave me so much encouragement. And I was like, thank you, that's what I need. And we talked about God, about the kids were just sitting there playing on their computers. It was really good, you know. But I was thinking, this is not. She just kept telling me, you know, look at all the good things and stop focusing on the bad. She just kept saying, I'm like, I know, but it's so hard. It's hard. Because you got one, I'm not playing, shouting the word banana 50 times where you're trying to teach while you're being videotaped for the other kids at home. Like, this is not, you know, and you can't, like,
pressure,
my
yeah.
kid, something would be done and you would be quiet. But it's not my child, so I can't physically do anything. And the office is not helping. And the office is not answering, and nobody's there. And I even cried in front of the children. And I just told them, You know, so the next day, this was today, this is the last day. Last night I was thinking, I'm giving up. I'm going home. I'm gonna get me some Subway. I don't care. This fasting stuff is for the birds. You know, obviously, it's just I need to be more positive. And I was like, but that, because I've been hearing that all year. This cannot be right. And so today we're having deer time, which is just drop everything and read. And I decided I'm gonna read too. Maybe they'll leave me alone. No, I'm not being rude, but I was like, we're just all reading. And I let them like just read wherever they want. You want to sit over there, you want to sit over there. That way they just kind of space out and they just read. And I actually brought a little book I have. It's called The Bible Promises. I brought it the first day I started my fast. And I just sat down and I was like, boys and girls, I'm going to read too because, you know, Miss Johnson needs to understand her words better. So I just made up something. I'm going to read more. And so I opened it up to love. And it was so cool. The very first one, it says, and I'm paraphrasing, so but y'all know what I'm talking about. It said, love your enemies. Pray for those that do wrong to you, who persecute you, and forgive those who wronged you. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, that's what your problem is. You're so mad at these kids because they've been acting so bad. You just need to forgive them and let it go. And I was like, what? Because when I'm thinking of forgiveness, I'm thinking of my sister, I'm thinking of my mom, I'm thinking of adult forgiveness. But the Lord said, no, you're so mad at their bad behavior, you're bringing it. Because like I started off work fine and then every day it gets just, yeah. My anger would just, and I came to work and was like mad, like I don't want to be there. And like they come happy, they're like, hey, Miss Johnson, I love you. And I just can't deal with you right now because I'm waiting for them to just have a really episode. And so like my anger is just like, I'm looking at you, I'm mad. You ain't even done that. And so the Lord says, you're angry at certain children. And that's embarrassing. I don't want to tell y'all this, but the Lord like led me to tell y'all. But that's embarrassing. But the Lord said, you need to forgive those kids and you need to let the anger go. And so I just looked at them and I said, in my breath, you know, I'm sitting there forgiving them. And then like my most challenging child, he's sitting right beside me because he just wants to be so close. I love it. And he said, what are you reading, Miss Johnson? And I said, well, this is my book. And he said, read it. I said, okay. And I said, love your enemies. And I just read that whole little thing to him. He's like, cool. And I just, my tears welled up in my eyes because, like, sometimes you think, for me as a teacher, the people that do wrong to you, I'm thinking like adults. But, like, children sometimes, like, you just need to love, you just need to forgive your own kids, too. You need to, so I don't know if anybody's having trouble with a child, personally, like, their own children, but, like, if you find yourself angry with certain children, apparently, and I didn't know this, and I don't know if I ever would have came to this on my own, but apparently, children need forgiveness, too, in your head, because that anger will blow up. So I'm excited, because today is the last day of my fast. So,
Subway tomorrow.
Could have broke it with a chicken nugget.
Or a sandwich.
I like what he said, you know, and my boss told me, she's like, this is just a piece of your life. But it bothered me so much because, like, I think it was Jeremy, he said, your work is your worship. And I said, God, I just want to do a good job, but I can't because I'm so mad at him because they're so bad. And I get, like, our principal's crazy, like, not crazy, but she's, let me just say, you work in school, you get observed a lot. They'll come in there with little video cameras and run stuff down. You got somebody doing bag bins under a desk, you get in trouble. So it's like, I'm trying to make these kids perfect, but they're not, they're just kids. You know, so the Lord told me, forgive them, love them, because that's honestly what they need, 100%. Teach them kindness, and then let it all go at the end of the day.
That's really good. That's awesome.
So that was my fast from,
pretty cool.
From these two, you know. The two
that's
classes.
Awesome. I love that. Love what God's teaching you through that.
Embarrassing, but, you know.
No, that's
great. Awesome. Don't get close to my kids.
That's powerful.
There's a reason we're not all teachers.
That's so true. Thank you for sharing. That's so good. Well, guys, I want to pray for you, and we'll let you go. And know that I'm praying for you throughout the week, and that God will continue to give us courage. Amen.
Amen.
All right. God, we love you. Thank you for tonight, Lord. Thank you for just the chance to to be together, Lord. I thank you for every person in this room. God, I thank you for what you're doing in and through our lives. And the stories that have been shared, Lord God, the way you're already testing us, God, and allowing us to display, whether it be momentary courage or daily ongoing courage, God, we need that courage to live out the character, the integrity, God. It's that key main ingredient to living out that Christ-like character, convictions, God, in our life, that conduct in our lives, God. Not to be perfect, none of us are, God, but that you have called us to be followers of Jesus, God, as whether teachers, whether owning coffee shops, God, in medicine and medical field, or fighting fires, God, it doesn't matter, Lord. You've called us to where we're at right now. And you want us to have courage, God. Because when we have that courage, God, we put you on display. Not because we're perfect, but because you're working in and through our lives. And it's touching children. It's touching those people we work with, God. It's touching the people that are around us every day, God, through that witness and through that example. So, God, keep stretching us. Keep making us who you called us to be. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.